Hello and welcome to this week's edition of International Media. From Australia to Japan and Europe, there's a lot to cover in today's program. For our main topic of the day, we'll focus on an agreement between the US and the European Union on data protection. We'll speak with Tommaso Falchetta of Privacy International to understand why the deal is under heavy criticism. But first, the latest news in the world of international media. Rights group Reporters Without Borders said earlier this week it was worried about threats regarding media independence in Japan. The remarks came ahead of a visit to Tokyo from David Kay, the UN Special Reporter on the Promotion and Protection of the Rights to Freedom of Expression. Until recently, Japanese media were celebrated as some of the most independent in the world. But a recent law criminalizing journalists for leaking state secrets threatens that tradition. Benjamin Ismail, the head of the Asia desk at Reporters Without Borders here in Paris, explains what's happening there.
The Abe administration is quite hostile towards journalists, and there have been several cases and allegations of pressure for the TV journalists as well as radio and the press, inside the printing press. Altogether, it brings an environment which encourages self-censorship and limits the ability of the people in Japan to access information. They are basically hostile to the criticism towards the policies. It could be that some lobbies are involved and that they are trying to protect different interests other than the public interest. That is what has been raised by many independent and freelance journalists, both Japanese and foreign journalists. They do not see a will from the authorities to get more transparent. They have felt a chilling effect after the installation of the specially designated secrets law, which enables the government to label any document in total discretion without counterpower as a state secret. They just want to operate their internal and foreign policy without any criticism.
That was Benjamin Ismail, the head of the Asia desk at Reporters Without Borders. Now to Australia, where the arrest of a television crew of journalists is making headlines. A Lebanese court has charged an Australian mother and four Australian television journalists over the abduction of her two children in Beirut earlier this week. The mother, Sally Faulkner, said that the children's Lebanese father, from whom she is divorced, took them for a holiday to Beirut and then allegedly refused to return them to Australia. Four Australian journalists from Channel 9's 60 Minutes program were preparing a report on Faulkner and were among those charged. Australian media are now questioning why the 60 Minutes team was sent to Lebanon in the first place.
RFI, the world at your doorstep.
And now to Europe and our main topic of the day. Earlier this week, European Union's privacy watchdogs voiced doubts about a new EU-US deal on data protection. The deal, called a Privacy Shield, was supposed to replace a previous one called a Safe Harbour that was struck down by an EU court last year. The deal regulates how American and European internet companies, such as Facebook and Google, can transfer customers' data from across the Atlantic. But the EU data authorities said they had reservations about parts of the new deal, such as the possibility for US intelligence agencies to collect any European citizens' private data. For more on this topic, I've asked Tommaso Falchetta, a legal officer with the advocacy group Privacy International, what the so-called Privacy Shield is all about.
So the Privacy Shield is a set of documents which relate to the standards of data protection for data transfer between the EU and the US. So it includes some data protection principles as well as some explanations from parts of the US administration that outline the safeguards, which we think are still very weak for personal data protection in the US. I think it's important to note in this respect that the Privacy Shield is not a new law or does not create new standards. And in fact, this kind of range of letters and other documents that constitute the Privacy Shield are actually quite confusing, and in places they contradict each other.
So we had a previous agreement before, the so-called safe harbor between the US and the EU. Could you explain the main differences between safe harbor and Privacy Shield?
Unfortunately, we don't see so many differences. The new set of data protection principles contained in the Privacy Shield are very similar to the ones in Safe Harbor. On the most important issues, the Privacy Shield offers no significant advancements from the Safe Harbor Agreement. For example, the principle of purpose limitation for processing personal data is still not defined. There is no data retention principles, and also there is no protection spelled out to the limit to limit automated processing of data, which is so important in the context of data exploitation. And also for us, particularly problematic is there remains to be very limited and below international standards safeguards against unlawful surveillance.
The Safe Harbor Agreement was struck down last year. Could you explain to us why it was struck down by the European Court of Justice?
So the Court of Justice, in this judgment called Schrems judgment on the 6th October 2015, struck down the Safe Harbor Agreement. And the reason why it struck it down was because it did not offer adequate safeguards to protect personal data from the EU to the US. Particularly, the European Court of Justice was concerned by the mass retention and mass access of personal data by US intelligence agencies and the lack of an effective mechanism of redress. And as I said, I think these issues still have not been rectified in the current Privacy Shield that has been discussed these days.
Well, EU data regulators met this week and said the agreement had flaws and that they were concerned about the Privacy Shield. Could you explain us why exactly?
Judging from the press conference of the Working Party yesterday and having read the executive summary and some of the key part of the opinion, it seems pretty clear that the EU data protection regulators were not convinced that the Privacy Shield provides adequate protection. I think their concern range from protection against abuses by commercial actors, such as private companies, to the lack of protection against mass surveillance by US state agencies. And on the latter point, I think it's quite important to note that the working party that represents the EU data regulators stated that it does not apply double standards. Its assessment is based on the existing European human rights law that applies to EU member states as well. So by criticizing the lack of safeguards on mass surveillance in the US, as in the Privacy Shield, they are not letting European states off the hook for their own unlawful surveillance practices.
Privacy International is an international advocacy group advocating for privacy, of course, and protection of personal data. The question I want to ask you is, how should this Privacy Shield be fixed? How can we fix it?
Privacy International has made a range of recommendations in this regard. But I guess it can really boil down to two main recommendations. One, reform surveillance laws in the US, including by ending mass retention of data and mass surveillance. And the other one is for the US to adopt a comprehensive data protection legislation that is really up to the standards to protect personal data of individuals.
That was Tommaso Falchetta, a legal officer with Privacy International, speaking from London. And this brings us to the end of this week's International Media. With me, Fabien Jeannick Charbonnel. You're listening to Radio France International. Do stay with us.